We're delighted to have you with us today. We're in a message series from the New Testament book of Ephesians called Sit, Walk, Stand. And the title of this morning's message is You Can Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'll meet someone and they'll say, well, now, Ronnie, is your church a Spirit-filled church? And I'll say, well, yes. Yes, we are a Spirit-filled church, as I understand what the Bible teaches to be a Spirit-filled church. Now, are we as full of the Spirit as we could be? No. And if someone were to ask you, are you a Spirit-filled Christian? I believe you could accurately say, yes, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian. But are you as full of the Spirit as you could be? And the answer is no. There's always room for growth, development. It's like a balloon. It's got air in it. It might look full, but you can put a little more in there and it can expand. Listen, my friends, the question is not, do you need more of the Holy Spirit? The issue is, can the Holy Spirit have more of you? A few years ago, my friend Steve Roberts, who was playing guitar on stage with us this morning, Steve, among many hats he wears, he's also a concert promoter, and he invited me to go with him to a concert up at the Cynthia Woods Pavilion, a concert that he was promoting. And there were two people that night who were wearing an all-access badge. Steve and me. And it was fantastic. I watched this concert from backstage. I could be in the dressing rooms and the cafeteria area. I could chat it up with the musicians, but you know, between sets. It was I had an all-access pass. Today, I'm asking you to invite afresh the Holy Spirit to have an all-access pass to your life. And listen, that means your money, your sex life, your power issues, your guilt and shame issues. Sometimes folks will be over at our house and they'll say, hey, can we look around? I say, absolutely. We just look through the house all you want to, but you can't open the closet doors. And you can't open the utility room door. In other words, yes, look around. Make yourself at home, sort of. We're not giving you an all-access pass. And sometimes I've done that with the Holy Spirit. Oh, come on in, but you don't open that door. Can't open this door. Can't go into that room. Does the Holy Spirit have an all-access pass to me? Here's our passage today from Ephesians. It's only four verses, but it is so, so rich. Ephesians 5, beginning verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Somebody says, what's that? It's goofiness, all right? It's being wasted. Wasted life, wasted opportunities, wasted resources, wasted influence. It's being wasted. Don't go there. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, and that is one of the most powerful possibilities the Bible offers you. Speaking to one another. Now, listen. Now he's going to describe some of the behaviors of someone who's filled with the Spirit. Question. Don't answer out loud, but if I were to ask you, how would you describe someone who's filled with the Spirit? Here's the way the Bible answers it. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. You sing, you make music from your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you submit to one another out of reverence for Jesus. I respectfully ask you today, might there be room in your life to be filled with the Spirit more than you are now? If you're taking notes, point number one, notice a vivid contrast and a comparison here. Do not get drunk on wine, Can we put point number one up on the screen? That's close. Point number one, notice a vivid contrast and comparison. The Bible says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Everybody here knows what a DUI is. You're driving under the influence in a negative way. To be filled with the Spirit is to be under the influence of the Spirit in a positive way. And he says, look, you don't want to be wasted with prescription drugs or illegal drugs or alcohol. You don't want to get wasted like that. You do want to be under an influence, though, and it's the influence of the Holy Spirit who will lead you into behaviors that you would not naturally and normally embrace. Point number two, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Now, the Bible uses this phrase, filled with the Spirit, in three different ways. And the first way refers to your initial conversion to Christ. Do you remember when the Apostle Paul was converted? He was walking the road to Damascus, saw a bright light. The Lord speaks to him, says, go into the city, and a man by the name of Ananias will tell you what to do. And here's what happened then and the way it's described from Acts chapter 9. Ananias went to the house and entered it, and placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord, that is Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, he has sent me to you, get this, so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes so that he could see again. He got up and was what? He got up and was what? Baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now, in this passage of Scripture, his salvation was described as he got his sight back and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. You, when you came to Christ, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You have all the Holy Spirit you need. The Bible says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. In the very first sermon, the message was this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you, all of you, not just preachers, not just apostles, will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? But that's not what Paul's talking about in our Ephesians 5 passage. But the phrase filled with the Spirit sometimes in the Bible describes our initial conversion. Secondly, the phrase filled with the Spirit can be used to describe special occasions of empowerment. Special occasions of empowerment. Special moments, get this, when God empowers a particular Christian or a group of particular Christians to meet specific moments in their life, to meet a great challenge, to endure suffering, to proclaim Christ boldly, and to do that, the Holy Spirit fills them with a particular sense of God's presence, assurance, and sometimes gives them the words. I'm talking here about a mountaintop experience. A mountaintop experience that if you were to describe to someone else, they wouldn't be able to relate. Now, the problem is, I know a lot of Christians who are experience hounds. And what they want is an experience. But all of these experiences I'm about to show you came about not because someone was seeking an experience. They were simply walking with the Lord. For example, I'll give you a couple of illustrations in the Bible. First one is from Acts chapter 4. When the baby church in Jerusalem, they're undergoing persecution, and they need great boldness to stand up strong. And here's what happened in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was, get this, it was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. In the face of persecution, they prayed. The room they were in was shaken. I'm sure they told others about it, like, are you sure about that? I mean, really? I believe that room was shaken. Now, personally, I've never been in a room that was shaken. But I don't doubt that it happened here. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Now, they had already received the Holy Spirit back in Acts chapter 2. But here they are with a fresh filling in a unique way. Three chapters later, you've got Stephen, that wonderful early church deacon and preacher, who is the first Christian martyr. And you read Acts chapter 7, and the Bible says that the Spirit came upon him in a way he's given unique eloquence. They said that his face became like that of an angel, and he is boldly giving an incredible defense of the Christian faith. And in chapter 7, verse 55, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And if some of you had been there, and if some of you had been there and heard Stephen say this, you probably would have said to yourself, yeah, right. Like that happens. I believe that happened. And there are moments, a unique mountaintop experience that I can't explain, and it's not programmed, and you cannot orchestrate it. But God, at unique times and places, for people to endure hardship or whatever it may be, some extraordinary experience to get them through an opportunity or a crisis. I believe that. But that's not what he's talking about here in Ephesians 5. So there's a third way the term filled with the Spirit is used, and it refers to the subtle and the steady experience of a surrendered and obedient Christian life. It's not spectacular, but it's subtle and it's steady, and it's over a long period of time, as someone says, I welcome the influence of the Holy Spirit in my life in a daily routine basis, and it impacts your words, your actions, your vocation, the way you parent. I mean, the early church said, we're going to find deacons who are full of wisdom and the Spirit. What does that mean? It just meant these were people who had balance in their lives. They had a degree of self-control regarding their actions, their behaviors. They were trustworthy. Sure, they could see problems, but they weren't debilitated by problems because God's on the throne. We know that. We can be problem solvers. These were people filled with the Spirit. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment, but now I want to ask this question. What role do I play in being filled with the Spirit? Do I just sort of stand like a tree in the forest waiting to be struck by lightning? Do I play any role here? I believe you do. Let me go back to the command that we're found in Ephesians 5. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Now that's a command. But get this, it's a continual command. In the Greek language, it's in the present tense, meaning continually be filled with the Spirit. In other words, you don't just, you know, get zapped once and you're done. You go in one time, you get a fill up, and then you're good to go. No, no. Continually be filled with the Spirit. When my wife goes out of town, she will give me a hug, she'll give me a kiss, she'll pat me on the cheek, and then she gives me a command. And her command is this, Ronnie, water my plants and flowers. Now, when she says that to me, she's using the Greek present tense to communicate with me. Because what she is saying is, Ronnie, water my plants and flowers on a repeated basis. I'm not saying water them one time. Water them repeatedly. D.L. Moody was once asked one time, the great preacher, the great evangelist, he was asked one time, why do you keep praying for the filling of the Spirit? He said, because I leak. I leak. We are all leaky people. And so we keep coming back. Be filled with the Spirit. But isn't that an interesting phrase? It's passive. I can't fill myself with the Spirit. I'm to be filled with the Spirit. Ah, the Spirit wants to fill you, but here's what you can do. Here's the role that you play. First of all, you put yourself in a position to be filled. I've often used the analogy here, and certainly not original with me, but I think it paints a picture, that we are to hoist our sails. That the Holy Spirit, the Bible describes the Spirit as what? Wind, breath. And so what we do is we hoist our sails so that we might catch the wind of the Spirit and be carried along and moved. In other words, it's very simple. You make sure that you're putting yourself in an atmosphere, in an environment, in relationships, in certain holy habits. You're going to be where the Holy Spirit is so that you might have those opportunities for growth. Bottom line, and this is not you, but you don't want to go there. You can't just drop in on church once every 3 months and hope to be filled with the Spirit. You consistently expose yourself to opportunities of prayer alone and with others, times of worship, times of fellowship. And as Colossians chapter 3 would say, you want to make sure that you, here you go, that you let the message of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. And that's why it's a beautiful thing to get together, to read Scripture, to study Scripture, because faith is simply a response to the truth and the message of God. So you put yourself in a position to be filled, and secondly, you make sure that you do not construct barriers to being filled. Ephesians 4:30 says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. What does that mean? It means that the Spirit is nudging you in ways that are consistent with Scripture. And when I say, well, I'm not changing, or I'm too busy, or my financial life, my sex life, my control issues, they're out of bounds. But let me tell you one of the primary ways I see people quench the Spirit. Here's what they do. When it comes to their own sense of inadequacy and failures in life, they'll say, I think my life is really beyond being remedied. I think I'm such a failure that God can't use me. That my sins and my failures or weaknesses, they're just too big for Him, and my situation is ruined. That's a denial of the gospel of God's amazing grace. So let me just ask you today, are you putting yourself in position to be filled? Are you constructing barriers that keep you from being filled? If so, just look at the love of God for you and return to Him and give Him that all access pass. The winds of the Spirit are blowing in your life. Cooperate. Set your sails so the Spirit can ignite you and move you. And just like you can go and be filled with alcohol and it will influence your actions, you can also make some noble choices and allow yourself to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, before we wind down, very quickly, Paul in this passage gives four very clear Holy Spirit leadings, and they may be, and they might surprise you a little bit. Here they are, very quickly. Here's the first one. He says, in a spirit-filled community, in a spirit-filled church, we're going to remind one another that the Lord reigns. These four points I'm about to give you, you're not going to find these in a country club, in a civic club. These practices are unique to the people of God. We're going to remind one another that the Lord reigns. And here's the way he says it. He says it like this. You're speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now notice that word, speaking to one another. John Stott is a fabulous British theologian, now with the Lord. He says this word is deliberate. He's saying, church, talk to one another the way you sing to one another. Have you ever seen groups in church? They never really talk about what they sing about. He says, and the Holy Spirit wants us to be a community where we have conversations that are psalm-like. In other words, they're rooted in Scripture. We talk about Scripture. Where we have conversations that are like hymns, and hymns are songs that just praise God, where we get our eyes off the mundane and on who He is. He wants us to have conversations that are like spiritual songs. What's a spiritual song? It's a song where we talk about our victories, our defeats, our ups, our downs, our life experiences. Now, that's not all we talk about. We can talk about the Final Four. We can talk about the Shell Houston Open. We can talk about the Masters coming up next week. We can talk about lots of things. We can have a good time together, wonderful small talk together. But would you take the initiative to raise the bar and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to have some conversations that soar and that go deeper? And this is the beauty of our connection groups. It is, where we get together and we intentionally say, we're going to have conversations on a different level. And then secondly, he just says, and praise God from your lips and heart, sing and make music in your heart. And my goodness, why wouldn't we? Of all people, how blessed are we to have received the grace of God, to have received the Holy Spirit, the wonderful promise of eternal life. After first service, Charlotte Smith came up to me, and she said, you know, sometimes when my kids were younger, I would go out on the back porch, and I'd be singing. And one time the kid said to me, oh, Mom, it's great to hear you sing out there, because that means you're in a really, really, really good mood. And she said, no, I'm not in a good mood. That's why I'm out there singing. I'm trying to get in a good mood. So you need to keep your distance for a few more minutes while I finish this song. We know the joy of the Lord. We can sing and make music in our hearts because of how blessed we are as God's people. And thirdly, he says, be thankful. Just give thanks in all those circumstances. Sure, there's plenty to complain about, but as God's people, we've got eyes to see all that God's doing in the world. And if the worst comes our way, we still win. And then last of all, he says, here's a fourth mark of a spirit-filled person, of a spirit-filled church, of a spirit-filled community. We can submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You think the world's going to embrace that value? That's not something the world embraces. But it's where the Holy Spirit is nudging us. Here's the picture. That one Sunday you might drive up and there's a group of people congregating outside the front door out here. You drive up, there they are, and you wonder what's going on. You walk up there to the front door and all of a sudden there's this group of people and nobody's walking inside because everybody's going, after you. Oh no, after you. Oh no, after you. Oh no, after you. And you say, Ronnie, that's crazy. Let me tell you what's really crazy. Is any community that thinks it can function with everybody going, you need to go after me. after me, after me. How in the world can this kind of humility and this leaning into cooperation happen? There's only one way, he says. It's by reverencing Christ. We step back, we look at the submission of Jesus for our benefit, and we go, that's how I learn it. Because Jesus loved us and served us and was submissive to the Father's plan all the way to the cross and through the empty tomb. All right. All over this passage we've been reading today, it's about choices. Choices. Whether or not we're going to invite the Holy Spirit to have an all-access pass. And you know, you can be in the same church, same group, sit on the same pew. People make different choices. They decide whether or not, Spirit, you have an all-access pass, even to my pocketbook, my sex life, my control issues, that inner voice of guilt and shame. Today, do you need to walk in a new direction? Hey, listen, if you've been making some sour choices, you've not been welcoming the Spirit, you can turn. You can begin to do that. I think it was an Andy Stanley book, I could be wrong, that said something like, it's direction, not intention, that leads to a destination. In other words, it's consistent choices. You'll never be perfect, but it's consistent choices in a healthy direction. Not good intentions. Everybody's got good intentions. But it's consistent choices in a healthy direction that lead to a good destination, that lead to where you want to go. And my friends in the church, let's encourage one another in that. And let's know that the Holy Spirit is eager to help us. And if we're thirsty, He's ready to respond. God bless you as you are filled more and more and repeatedly with the Holy Spirit.